Do I have a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Discussion action, sewer backup insurance.
Public appearances? Public appearances?
How did it do? Oh, public appearances. All right. There is no public present, so we will move on to sewer and backup insurance.
All right, this is just to continue our last meeting discussion on it. I got a little more information from the League of Municipalities. Went back and forth, but it is based on per customer. So that changes it drastically. And then it would be prorated for this year. So we're looking at roughly $8,000 for the year. It does cover a variety of different events.
Occurrences.
Anywhere from high water, flooding, and causing backup through our lift stations, a water break that floods someone's home, and your typical sewer backup. The communities that I was able to get a little information on are glad they have it. There were a couple that dropped it in the past and have reinitiated it, especially with the high waters. It's something that we could do for 1 year. And then
could you give us a real quick recap on the policy and the benefits?
The policy, it's $100,000 per occurrence to a max of $300,000 in the year. If you have a rider on your insurance, that's where it would go first. And, of course, people are encouraged to have that rider on their insurance, sewer backup rider. And whatever is not picked up by that, then the league insurance would pick up. And or if you did not have that, it would be on a first-come, first-served basis. It seems like it's a pretty simple application. Virtually the name of the municipality, how many customers you have, and that's about it.
Is there a waiting time?
No, it's immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be a bad thing, given the high water that we currently have. This would be broken out because it's late in the game. You wouldn't want to add it to individual customers' water bill. That the village could pick it up out of the three utilities, water, storm, and sanitary. So about $2,500-ish per utility that would help cover this cost.
I thought we only had 5,000 rooftops.
5,600 customers.
Okay.
You've got, because you do have apartments that, it's counting as a rooftop, but then they're metered individually.
So 5,600 customers would cost us $8,000 a year?
That's being prorated, because it's based on $1.75 per customer.
And I'm sorry, a customer is a domicile, or a customer is
the meter?
So if you're a family of five in a single house, there's
one.
So it would just be one. Okay, yep. But in a multi-family home, that will be however many families or units are in that home.
However many meters are in there.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's $100,000 per occurrence. So if there's 10 people making a claim, Max are going to get $10,000. Okay. And then if they have insurance coverage, that goes first.
That would go first.
Did the private insurers know that? I mean, does that ever turn into a battle?
That's up to the insurance companies to have that battle. But because it's a secondary,
kind of like
it's not a primary.
Hmm? Like your supplemental Medicare.
Yeah.
It's a supplemental Medicare. Hmm.
We have probably on an average, I try to pull that up, 4-ish calls for sewer backup in the basement that they tried, that's probably on the high end, that would call and look for village support, financial support on remedying their situation or taking care of damaged goods in their home.
For in how what period of time?
Roughly in a year,
oh, okay.
On average, roughly somewhere around there. Those are resolutions that come through the board.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, it's once you have that explanation with a resident, informing them that the village is exempt or immune for the cause, then it typically doesn't go as far as it does. But we do get some that try to go through, that want to go through the entire process where there's an investigation by the insurance carrier
mm-hmm.
that so far has always deemed us to be exempt.
Yep.
Last year we had, roughly speaking, that I'm aware of, and there could have been more, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but when the water main broke underneath Black Hawk Drive, we had five or six properties that were impacted by that. When that water main broke, it blew a hole into a nearby sanitary manhole because of the amount of water and debris that had gotten in. There were five or six basements that had witnessed a backup. Prior to that, after that, because that was in February, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, when we had the flooding, we had 3 to 5 properties where their sewer had backed up into their basement. And then there were a half dozen properties where stormwater had entered their basement, but that was because of overland flow. That wouldn't be covered.
That's not covered.
This policy would cover anything that would come from our pipes. Anything that would leave our pipes and go into their basement would be covered by that, by this policy.
Our pipes outside of their yard.
Yes.
Not the basement. It's the yard's the cutoff. If it's a problem in their own yard.
Right. Yes.
Before the house.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
Right. Right. Correct.
It has to be from the street or, I guess,
from the street water main, street sewer, sanitary sewer, or street.
I know. I think Lynn was probably the only one on the board, but many years ago on Webster Avenue, there was a major water main.
Down by Roselawn.
Yeah. That flooded a lot of homes.
So would that?
This would have covered it.
Even they though that's overland.
So if you got 20 homes, you're talking $5,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Brad,
that one on Webster would have covered, even though that came overland?
Because it came from the pipe.
Okay.
So it comes from the pipe, goes up, goes back down into the basement, that's still covered.
That would have been covered.
The situation in Green Bay, which is in the news this week, a lot of money, and the city, kind of like the village here, I think, said no liability. I don't know if they took it to court then, and maybe they didn't get anything, so Green Bay must not have, because that was a broken main, I think.
I would think for the city of Green Bay, if the city itself were to cover this, be pretty cost prohibitive. It's one of those that it's there as a tool, and whether or not this committee feels that it's a tool that we'd like to implement.
You said some of the municipalities that have it are happy with it.
Yes. Cronewetter. Cost them about $9,800. They looked at, they had it, dropped it, now they're bringing it back.
One more time, while you're looking, what's the cost per meter?
$1.75.
And so when you say $8,000, it's prorated for 2020 because we're going into it later.
Correct.
And we could always cancel it in 2021.
Here's Washburn. They started it a couple years ago, and it has come in handy a few times already. Residents are thankful for when things happen, that they do have coverage. Clintonville has it, utilizes it. Hartford have never gotten it, but your cause, okay. money. It's just kind of, no, they haven't done it.
This is just, this is an insurance policy. That would be a tool, but ultimately what we want to see people do is install backflow preventers.
Right.
And the cost of that is anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000, Jeff?
Yep. All right.
That's what we, ideally, that we'd like everybody to do that. Then you would, then I wouldn't think you would need insurance then, but not everybody has a backflow preventer.
Well, unless you have a water main break that goes up to the surface.
Oh, and unless that happens, right. Which,
which would be covered by this, right?
Correct.
Or the storm sewer that comes back through the pipe that feeds into the sump pump.
Well, that would be hard. It would be rare, but I'm sure it could happen because most sump pumps discharge at grade.
We had one with our prior village president.
And it happened. Yeah, I'm sure it can. It would be rare, but it can happen. Yeah.
A few times it happened to him.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Did it happen to you?
Ted, to your point of, you know, it would be a $5,000 benefit to 20 homeowners. I think if people are in that position, especially if they're on the hook for everything, I think $5,000 would be a blessing.
Who's going to make the decision on who gets what? Is that going to happen at village time?
Nope.
Or is that going to be this company that...
It's the company.
The company handles all the arguments, all the discussions, all the neighbor fights. Of, well, I mean, honestly, because there's value in that. That's
right.
That's time. That's.
Do we know how they... If you had a water main break, you had 20 properties that were impacted. Do we know how they would go about underwriting or...
Giving up the money?
The first thing is that they would contact us, and we would share the address and resident's name to the insurance company, and then they'd take it from there.
That's it. But we don't know if they'd say, let's hold off until we get all claims, or if one guy came in with an $80,000 claim, would he get $80,000 and then have 20 for the other...
That's a good question that I don't have an answer for, because that's...
Varying levels of damage depending on the house. Who just left.
Yeah. Was there an annual maximum?
$300,000.
And only three occurrences.
At least three events to get $300,000.
$100,000 aggregate.
$100,000.
$300,000 total.
Right, but if you have an event that only costs $50,000. Then you still can have three more events, one at 50K and two more at 100, and you'd be covered because it's a max of 300,000, right?
Not maximum events.
There's no max number of events, just
Correct.
A max number of dollars.
Correct.
And a max 100,000 per event.
Right.
And Brad, you said there's conceivably 2,500 in each of the three utility to do it, so we could do it for this year, see what our experience is.
And if it's something that we as a community or village board feels that it's a nice option, then it could be added to a utility.
Is that something we put out there right now? Let's say we decide to do this. Put it out there to the residents that effective March 31st or whatever it is. We're going to do this. Village is going to pay for it this year, depending on the experience.
Yeah. They provide a sample letter that you can you could send out to all residents just to kind of get a poll from the residents themselves. That's if you were looking at applying the fee towards their utility.
Right. If you pay a higher premium, can you get a higher coverage?
This is the max.
That's the max.
Yep. You know, Sean spent some time reading through the policy, put a list of questions together, and we sent them on to the league. And you know, scenarios were a lot of the things that Sean indicated to him. And each one of the scenarios, they said yes.
So if root balls build up in one of our pipes and therefore cause a backup into someone's home, that would be covered.
That would be covered.
Yep.
Root ball is off of their property.
If
right,
the
as long as it's in the village right
away.
Right. Which we had one of those examples down by the East River last year or the year before. And we couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be $1.75 per
customer. It's $1.75 per customer.
Per year.
Yeah.
Custer, we had one.
Oh, that's
pretty cheap, Custer.
I mean, if you did it monthly, it'd be 15, 14
That would actually surprise me that they wouldn't pocket that, because don't they say that you have to show that you were actually looking at those lines on a routine basis and clearing them?
And we do.
The root ball isn't going to happen in 6 months, right?
Because
a
you
year, is it?
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised how fast those come back.
And we don't get through every line in the village every year. There's too many miles.
Three-year
cycle.
So, sorry, blockheaded. The proposal is $1.75 additional fee to everybody's utility bill per year to cover the cost?
That's what would cover the cost? Correct.
That somebody said we're thinking about not charging residents for the first year?
If we were to institute it today or after next village board meeting, if the village board also approved it, then this would be sent off to them, and it would be coming out of those three utilities to cover this year.
And we have the money in the utilities to cover it.
Okay. Then after that, we would
consider adding it to the utility bill itself.
And do we have to do anything before we add that to residents' utility bill? Do we
you don't have to,
approve,
no.
Because
no.
I can't even imagine what a mess that would be trying to explain this to all of them to get approval.
I think it's I was skeptical, but I think for, at least for this year, for $8,000, knowing that the water levels are high now and the opportunity, regardless of where you live in the village, we haven't been able to help residents with this prior, and everyone who was ever asked wanted to, but our insurance company and our attorneys tell us no. So this would give us a way to be able to support the residents.
I feel like I'm missing something from our last meeting when we discussed this, because I didn't feel like I was in support of it then, but this seems to make sense to me.
Yeah.
So I'd support it.
I may not have explained it very well the last time.
Well, it was more expensive. You may have.
It was more expensive. It was $20-some thousand dollars last time, too.
Okay. What made it go down to $8,000?
They had misquoted us twice.
Right, because it was...
How about they misquoted us again? It's really supposed to be 75 cents.
Because they said it's $1.75 per population, but when Bellevue ended up going through getting theirs in Suamico, that's how they were quoted at the beginning, but then it came down to per customer. So then that's when I reached back out.
$13,000 to $5,600.
Yeah.
That's important.
I'll make a motion to recommend to the village board. That's what you're looking for, right?
Correct.
Recommend to the village board that we go forward with the policy for an amount not to exceed $8,000 in 2020.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any
who's
opposed?
Who's the second? Ted.
All right. Assessment of street utility laterals.
The final lateral special assessments for Longview, Oakwood, and Martha Avenue have been calculated. Unfortunately, the actual cost to install came in much higher than what we had estimated and provided the homeowner, property owner, March of last year through the engineering report. The increased cost was due to the higher unit prices that we had gotten last year, and when we had estimated the lateral costs, we had used numbers that were conservative at the time. We had used average unit prices from the years past that were conservative, and when we had gotten the bid prices, we were shocked, and the install cost of the laterals came in much higher than what we had anticipated.
So these are the laterals that we already replaced?
The village...
During construction?
Yes.
No, we only special assess for a new lateral. For existing laterals, we do not charge for that. On Longview and Oakwood Avenue, we installed just slightly less than 20 new storm laterals. Properties that didn't have a storm lateral before.
Okay. So not replacing the existing.
New, where we had installed a new lateral. On Martha Avenue, at the end of Martha Avenue, not only did we install new storm laterals, but we installed new water main and sanitary sewer laterals.
So this is on the private property?
Public. These are public laterals. Yeah. From the main to the property line.
Am I looking at this wrong, or it looks like the estimated assessment is the same as the actual assessment?
Let me explain that.
Yeah, please.
Without reopening the special assessment, there's a process that you have to follow to special assess. And without reopening the special assessment, without getting a letter back out to the property owners and holding a public hearing, the invoiced assessment cannot exceed what had already previously been provided to the homeowner. And we had already provided them information. And right here where it says actual assessment, we did that because what we're trying to indicate is that without reopening the assessment will be what we had originally estimated. Let me zoom in here. So here's what we had estimated February, March of last year. This is how we had come up with that estimate. We had assumed $45 a foot, and this is for a storm lateral. The actual cost came in at $63 a foot. And the actual cost to install per lateral was $2,152. I guess we could have put that here, but what we're indicating is the without reopening the assessment, the invoiced assessment cannot exceed what we had already provided to them. I had asked Jeff to put the two equal, but if I would have listed that over here, it should read $2,152.50 in this column,
mm-hmm.
and with a total, and then a total over here.
Well, you can leave the special, the actual assessment. You can just have actual cost.
And we'll clean it up. And we can look at Martha. Martha's a little bit different because not only were they special assessed for storm, they were special assessed for water and sanitary laterals. So the for Martha Avenue, what we had estimated per lateral for storm lateral was $1,800 of property. The actual cost was $2,283. Difference of roughly $500. Now, if we look at the sewer and water main laterals, the actual cost per foot was almost double what we had estimated, what we had used for a unit cost when we came up with an estimated cost. Right here, Ted. Here's the actual cost per foot, the bid actual cost. Here's what we had used for a unit cost when we had estimated the cost. And at the time, these were conservative numbers. These represented the cost at that time, and what had happened last year was there was such a large amount of work out there in the state that contractors were full, but they were bidding more work, and they were bidding it with overtime included, and they didn't necessarily need the work, but they were putting some huge numbers out there, and they were getting, in some cases, getting the projects.
But didn't we get quotes from the firms on the cost of these prior to signing an agreement?
We provided that. The estimates.
Are we talking about the actual special assessment? Or
Well, when we put the project out for bid.
Yep.
They told us what it would cost.
When we put the project out to bid, right, they did.
And what did they bid?
These are the numbers they bid right here.
Okay.
These are right from the contract.
Okay. Sweet.
And they came in a lot higher than what we had anticipated.
It's no different than any of the other projects we had last year, where
right.
they were 30-40% more.
Right.
This is even more than that.
Right. In total, the actual cost to install the laterals was approximately $19,000 more than what we had estimated. We do have the money to cover this. We had bonded for the reconstruction projects. Other than the bidding, we have very few change orders. When we had gotten the bonding, we had included a contingency, and I had included a cost for supplemental bid items, mainly for excavation below grade, EBS, and we lucked out. We weren't required to excavate below subgrade to construct a roadway. So the actual cost came in slightly under what we had budgeted or bonded for. So we have the money available. If we want to go ahead and approve the special assessment as provided to the resident early in 2019 and as originally indicated in the engineering report, that's option number one. Or option number two, we can reopen the special assessment. We can get letters out to all of the property owners that were special assessed and let them know that the actual install cost came in higher than they estimated and that we're proposing to change their special assessment, and it's now going to be this. In most cases, for those on Longview and Oakwood Avenue, there were less than 20 that were special assessed for storm laterals. That change in cost is, depending on the street, anywhere between $500 and $700. So somebody with a $1,500 assessment would now be special assessed for $2,200 or $2,000. On Martha, somebody's special assessment may go, if we're going to reopen, it may go from $5,000 to $9,000. Because of the cost of the other laterals.
Did they have an option to opt out of this?
No.
They did.
Well, they had the option to come to the public hearing and say whatever they wanted to say.
Yeah. They came to it with the understanding that it was $1,500.
Right.
Right.
So they got an improved situation at home. I mean, there's a benefit here.
Right.
And do most people pay it yearly or on their taxes a little bit?
It's
all over the board.
We offer an installment plan, five-year installment plan. If approved, this will go to the village board shortly after that. Then we'll get the invoices out. From the date of the invoice, they'll have 30 days to make payment. If they don't, then it automatically gets placed on a installment plan. Five-year installment plan.
So if somebody did a five, did you say five-year?
Five-year, yeah.
It would go from about, how's your math, up to about $500.
$100 a year.
Yeah.
Plus interest.
So not terrible, I mean.
Plus interest.
Right, okay. Yeah.
It would be, not that we can't do it. We get a letter out, we amend the engineering report that gets included with the letter. We hold a public hearing, and I would think that they're all going to be present at that public hearing, and they're all going to...
What are their options at that hearing?
Yeah.
What's the point? All they're going to do is...
Express their frustration.
Being pissed.
Yeah.
So I have two questions, then. If we don't do that, though, then it comes out of...
Everybody's,
which means all the villagers are paying for that.
For that improvement. Right.
Right. Or second, we wouldn't have done the project, which we would have done anyway.
We would have moved move ahead with the project. You know, I don't know how many, I can't off the top of my head remember how many had attended that public hearing.
Here, the seats were full.
Yeah.
I think it was at the village board meeting we held a public hearing, and I don't remember how many had.
One or two.
No, I don't know if it is.
But a lot of them came to this meeting prior to that.
Yeah. They were here when we talked about the project. I don't know if a $2,200 lateral assessment would have motivated more people to attend at that time. I don't know.
But again, what would their options have been?
Right.
Their option would have come to argue that they don't feel this is fair, that we shouldn't move ahead with the project because of it. And we would have said, we're going to move ahead with the project. You're going to be special assessed, and if you don't pay it, it'll be put on your taxes.
And what period of time do we give them to pay?
5 years. But when they receive the invoice, they'll have 30 days to pay the invoice. They don't make payment within the 30 days, it automatically gets placed on a 5-year installment plan with interest of 1% over the bonding interest that we.
So someone goes from $5,000 to $9,000 assessment.
Yeah.
So that's going to be two grand a year. And if you've got, let's just say it's an elderly person with fixed income. Can you spread it out further?
I don't know if you can. I think, isn't it governed by PSC?
No, I suppose if you were to rewrite, if you were to redo the engineering report, you could rewrite the financial part of that as well.
Yeah.
Right?
To give them a longer option.
And the three that were special assessed, storm, sanitary, and water, were those new lots at the end of Martha.
Okay.
Two of which haven't been built on yet. Okay. I know one person that would be at that hearing. Last name starts with Johnson, first name Bill. He would be there.
He's got two of them.
Not Matthew Gelb that lives right there.
Storm lateral. Just a storm lateral.
And he seemed to be happy to pay it. Yeah. Not happy, maybe stretching it, but you know, he was like, yeah, I want that to be done. So it was pretty verbal.
So I have two questions.
Sure.
One is, How long ago did we find out that these were the costs for those laterals?
We were working on it. Typically gets done at the end of the year when we're finalizing the quantities for the project.
So we don't get billed until the end of the year?
We haven't gotten the final invoice, but we had gotten the second final at the end of the year, and we were... Jeff and the inspector were going through to verify the measurements to make sure that that the quantities shown on the pay request reflect the work that was actually done in the field. Mm-hmm. So, we knew as soon as the project opened, but we didn't know at that time the length of the lateral. We had a really good idea of what that length was, but yeah.
So, from a lessons learned perspective, would it have benefited us to deal
probably
with this right as soon as we heard about the increased cost?
I don't think we've ever experienced that.
Well, the benefit would have been knowing about the increased cost before it even happened. And actually having that in the assessment, in the estimate. I'm still confused why we didn't know this, why the contractor didn't give us the appropriate price. Were we just guessing?
We bid the project. Mm-hmm. We publicly bid projects $25,000 or more. Mm-hmm. And we had, Jeff, remind me, we had maybe a half dozen bidders on this for each reconstruction project. We had two, and they were bid a week or 2 weeks apart, and they submit a bid with unit prices that reflect a lot of things: their cost, mm-hmm. Profit, and how much work they already have, probably.
So to answer your question, we budget for these things before we bid them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going into the budget year for next year's projects, or the year after, and so we base our estimates on projects in the previous year, current rates as best we know them. Last year there was a huge increase in all of the rates.
Yeah.
Our public works projects were over by what, 30% for the most part?
20 to 30%.
So from a budgeting perspective, the only way you could have avoided that was to take what we believe to be a fair rate and increase it by 60%, which is basically what it came out to be. And you're not going to budget for that if you don't think it's going to cost that.
Right. So from what I'm hearing, then, we don't really have a way of avoiding this moving forward.
No, I think we just have an opportunity to react to it more quickly. Because if we told the residents as soon as we found out that based on these bids, your numbers went up, that would have been a year ago. Now it's all been done, and I just think...
You're right. So they could have planned a little bit better.
Yeah.
Putting money
I think you'd still have to go through the hearing process again, correct? We'd be
yes.
The same.
Not if we're going to tell them this is the new cost.
Yes, you still have to.
We'd be in the same situation because we'd have to reopen.
Right.
We're not going to reopen it now, though.
Well, that's the question thrown out right now.
Right.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if we were just going to charge them what's going to be charged,
we would have
correct.
We still
correct.
You're right. We would have still had to reopen the assessment because we had already gone through the steps.
No, the assessments come so much.
He's talking from an information perspective, right? We could have let them know that this is the cost we got.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Cost came in much higher.
Yep.
It's going to cost more than $1,500. It's going to cost $2,200.
Right. Yep.
You wouldn't have to reopen the assessment.
Yeah. Yes,
but we still
would.
Couldn't charge them the $2,200 because we can't exceed the engineering report.
Yes.
We could let
We would still have to reopen the assessment.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. We would still have, but you're right. We could have done it at an earlier date. And it would have allowed them more time to plan and to put money aside.
We can't bill them more without reopening.
Okay.
Yeah.
The time that's gone by does make it seem a little
tough.
Dare I say deceitful? I mean, it's.
And
I know it is.
I think you explained it by saying, you know, we've gone back and forth to make sure, first of all, that the work that was done is the work that was done.
Right.
But we didn't know.
And another thing we're going to do, and it's going to be a challenge for 2021. We're going to have to come up with an estimated cost, and we're going to likely use the unit cost that we've got
here
in 19, and 19 the ones that we used
the
higher one, yeah. But they're going to come back down and. Which is okay. It may cause some heartburn to somebody when they get the letter indicating that they're going to be special assessed. The engineering report that's going to have a higher estimated cost because it was a direct reflection of how much work we had out there last year. And these special assessments may come in much higher than what it costs to do the work in 2021.
So can we charge them less? If
yes, we can.
Okay.
Yep.
So I think that's the responsible thing to do.
Right.
Let them know this is simply an estimate. We believe it's high, but based on last year's numbers, that's all we can really
right.
do.
Right, right. And we can definitely get bid information from other communities this year.
Yeah.
And do our best to try to come up with an average number, but we're gonna err on the side of caution. We're gonna be conservative, so it doesn't happen again.
Well, we're gonna be talking about project cost coming up in a little bit. And I'm guessing we'll see the numbers less than we did last year.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this, we have to make a decision on whether or not we're gonna absorb this as a village, or if we're gonna have these individual owners absorb it. Right? Is that what we're looking at?
Right.
Yep. How many times has this kind of a thing happened in the past?
Very first time.
Yeah.
And
those engineering estimates are put together based on the past 5 to 7 years of work in our community and other communities, and we add a percentage to that. So they were At the time, they were comfortable numbers.
Do we have any other projects that are just getting built out now that we might see this on as well for the same reasons? Or are we
not for this year? Not for this year.
If you will.
This year, we're okay. This is one of the few things that we special assess for.
The total cost of the difference, if the village were to absorb it, is what?
About $19,000.
$19,000.
I think as a village, we need to act just as that, as a village, and helping to protect everybody at once. And if that means that sometimes the rest of the village needs to eat a little bit of the cost to keep things as fair as possible, I think that's how you act as a village. So I would say if this is a one-off, or as best as we could tell a one-off, in my opinion, we eat this as a village, as a whole. We don't put it back on these individuals. That's my opinion on it.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I don't want to repeat all that because I probably missed
Let me make the recommended motion, and if you want to... I'd written it out so that it would correctly stated.
Please.
Recommend approval of the final special assessments as originally provided to the property owners and as indicated in the engineering report.
So moved.
Meaning we're going to split it amongst the entire population.
Right.
So moved.
And is there a second?
I would amend that or add to that.
Okay.
Or just have a stipulation that we inform and property owners that they got the deal.
Yes, and that the rest of the village is chipping in for their laterals.
Can we do that? Or should we?
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to confuse anybody
and get
them out of their house to come to a village board meeting to yell and to be upset and then to find out that we're not going to...
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think we should hide it either.
If somebody asks,
you need to be up front.
We'll make sure that what was discussed is in the minutes.
It'll be discussed very similar to at the village board meeting.
And at the board meeting, okay.
So we have a motion.
And do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Street resurfacing project. Bid results. Thank goodness, better than last year.
We have some good news.
All right.
We have some good news.
So why $90,000 less than we thought?
We got the work out much sooner.
Okay.
We had open bids on the 18th. We had received two bids, and we typically only get two bids for our street resurfacing project, one from Northeast Asphalt and one from MCC. The bid in total did come in under what we had budgeted by about $80,000, which will allow us to take on more work. The resurfacing project includes, and we had already talked about the work, the scope of the work at previous Public Works Committee meetings, but just to remind everybody, it includes the rehabilitation of St. Mary Street from Riverside Drive East, 1,500 feet, rehabilitation of Stanton Court and Arbor Lane from the cul-de-sac east to Rosemont Drive, resurfacing of Garland Street from Webster Avenue to Baird Street. We have a task in there for the miscellaneous street patching and repair. It also includes the construction of the Old River Condominium Trail and repair to the Longview Avenue Trail at the southeast part of the village.
Trail or the Avenue?
The trail.
There's
Avenue. Oops, sorry. Prepare the Longview trail. If you were to take Longview Avenue beyond east of East River Drive, it's a trail that runs around the outside of that pond right there. There's a segment of that trail that needs to be repaired.
Is that a Wheezy Park down in there?
No. North of Wheezy.
Okay.
Not sure. Yeah, it was in North of there. Yeah.
Well, they're amazingly close. I mean, the two in total.
Yeah, that was amazing. What was the difference? It was $2,000.
Yeah.
$2,500.
So with the extra $90,000, what do you foresee? Do you see extending any one of these projects?
We would. We're going to be looking into that. We're going to be meeting with Northeast Asphalt tomorrow, Jeff and I, and we're going to be talking about their schedule. But a few things. This morning, the three of us, Jim, Jeff, and myself, we were made aware of there are two or three alleyways in the village that are falling apart, poor condition, that need to be resurfaced. That's one option. We would like to. We're asking Northeast Asphalt right now to provide us an estimate. We would like to change order that into this contract, the repair of those alleyways. The one behind Associated Bank, the one south of Claude Alloway Terrace. Is there another one that we're considering, Jeff?
Those two.
Yeah. We would like to extend one of the street projects, most likely Arbor Lane. We're going to run the numbers and see if we can. Right now, the east termini is at Rosemont. I'd like to take that all the way to Rosemont, from Rosemont to Rosemont.
To Webster?
A little section. Yeah, or there's that little bit that I think that's technically, what is that? It's Rosemont, isn't it?
It's Rosemont.
Together.
I mean, it's like confusing. Yeah.
Arbor goes up to Rosemont, yeah, Rosemont comes down to the south and around.
So basically from the cul-de-sac all the way to just short of Webster Avenue. Yeah.
Well, again, it would make sense. The equipment's there.
Exactly. They don't have to remold, right? And then that work could get done under the unit prices of what we already have in the contract. The alleyways would be a little bit different because it's a mold, and that would get changed or ordered into the project. So we're going to talk about it later. We would like to rehabilitate the St. Mary's sanitary sewer in conjunction with the street resurfacing project. The water main was removed and replaced in 2015. Jeff, we had the sanitary sewer televised from Webster Rivers at Riverside Drive. Jeff has spent some time to review the sanitary sewer in a segment that we're going to resurface, and it's in poor condition. And we have since met with the city of Green Bay. They do a lot of they call it CIPP, cured in place pipe. Where you come in, it's a trenchless technology where you come in and put in a new pipe. Some call it lining, but the end product is a new pipe with its own structural capabilities, no different than a PVC pipe.
So when you put it into the pre-existing pipe?
Yes.
So it's a liner within the pre-existing.
Yep. Okay. They come in from a manhole. It's like rolling out a sock. And they can use steam, they can use water, I think, to roll this out into the sanitary sewer. And then it cures, and then they'll come in and cut out, they'll televise it. Before they put the liner in, they'll televise the line and make note of every lateral. When that liner's placed, that robot, call it a robot, camera will go in and find that lateral and cut it out.
Really?
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
it is pretty cool. You are correct.
We met with Green Bay because they do a lot of it, and the piers just put out a contract. They just lined about 10,000 feet. We met with Green Bay, and we've been in discussions with the pier because we're looking to see if we can piggyback on one of their contracts, try to save some money. There is a significant cost difference between open excavating and lining right now. Open excavating, you're looking at about $100 a foot compared to anywhere between $30 and $35 a foot to put in a cured in place pipe.
Well, most of the time that we're actually redoing sewer line zones because we need more depth to them. They're actually too shallow. Is that really the case?
100%. About 95% of our village is built out. Sewers are already in place. So when we come in, we relay it, we remove and replace the existing grid. All of the connection points have already been established, so it's hard to make any adjustment to grade.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Another material made of? I mean, is it a liquid?
How would you explain that, Jeff?
It's a resin, right?
It's a resin.
It's a resin. Okay. And it gets pumped in there somehow.
It's rolled up.
It's a resin. It's felt impregnated with resin, right? And then as it rolls out, the steam or the heat or the hot water creates a chemical reaction that hardens that.
It's almost like a fiberglass cast.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. And you can vary the thickness of that liner, of that pipe. And we're proposing this the standard liner. And it would end up being, roughly speaking, the same thickness of PVC pipe. It would have the same structural integrity as a new pipe. It's a new pipe.
No problems with us making repairs on this?
No, what we're proposing, and we're trying to figure out the sequence of how we do this, it's going to be dependent on the schedule, but we want to renew the laterals as well. Jeff, how many laterals are there? 24?
Two dozen, yeah, on the lower half.
And we would use a little bit different technology, another trenchless technology, pipe bursting, but we'd have to make a connection to that, possibly to that new liner. And you come in, you get a sledgehammer and you break the old pipe apart, it falls apart, and there's your new pipe. What we have out there is concrete, and they break the pipe apart, and then they get to the new pipe, and then you cut that and make a connection to that.
So you got to excavate for that for each lateral.
We would, yes. Yeah. There's also the technology out there, and we're going to look into it. You can do the same thing to a lateral, but it all depends on, you know, the existing condition. What you need is you need to have a round pipe. There can be roots in there, there can be some pipe offsets, but you need to have, for the most part, something that's round.
So we are narrowing the lumen a little bit, but it's not enough to impact overall flow. And obviously, if we're laying something
down,
we're decreasing the diameter.
You are. However, in this particular case, the sanitary sewer on St. Mary's is not a collector. It just serves that street, and there's decent grade on it, with the exception of 200 or 300 feet at the bottom that flattens out. But there's pretty good grade on St. Mary's. I can definitely run the calcs, but I'm confident that can handle the flow.
Okay.
It'll save a lot of heartburn for the residents not having the road all torn up again. You'd be like, why didn't you do it all when you did that? It'll be less intrusive.
Are we still talking about doing this though in conjunction with the road surface?
We're gonna come back to you guys with a project. Right now we're finalizing the expenditures from last year's reconstruction projects. That information is getting put into the bonding worksheet that we put together. Hopefully by the end of the week, I'll know what we have available in each account, if there's anything available. I looked at it already. We're going to have money available for additional projects.
This method also saves from tearing up all the medians, too.
Correct, the trees.
Yeah.
Because it's right down the middle of the road.
The sanitary sewer is right down the middle. And that's it. Dead center of the middle of the median where there are a lot of mature trees. So.
Right.
There would be a third option. That's not to spend the 90 grand that we save.
You're right.
Right?
Okay.
I'm guessing St. Mary's sewer lateral would probably eat up a good chunk of the 90,000.
I'd like to use that 90,000 on street pavement, alleyways, extending the limits of Arbor or Garland. Maybe you take Garland east of Webster. We'll look into that. Makes the most sense to probably just extend the limits of Arbor because they're there.
It's a roadway.
Right. I would like to use funds that we have remaining from the bonding towards this sewer project. But we'll bring it back. What I'd like, There's a motion recommending approval of this contract to Northeast Asphalt Inc. to the low bidder at $593,726.90.
I will make that.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Yep.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. DePere's used garbage.
All right. Well, they have another. They have. They have another truck for sale. They're in the process of purchasing a new garbage truck. They have received quotes from a number of bidders. When they had gotten the quotes, the bidders were required to provide a trade-in value for the soon-to-be retired garbage truck. In our five-year equipment replacement plan, we have a purchase of another used garbage truck and a retrofit to a Leaf vacuum truck. We purchased one this year. Early this year, we purchased a used garbage truck from DePere. We purchased the ODB. We haven't got the ODB yet, but when we do get it, Bob and Daryl will install it. We were made aware that DePere would have that they were going to have another truck available. Jim and Bob went over to take a look at it. Bob, if you want to talk about the condition of the truck.
Overall condition, it's in pretty good shape. Good overall. Body's in good shape. I would venture to say it's better than the first truck we purchased from them. It is in their fleet yet, so I would recommend a re-inspection before we would purchase. But, yes, it's in good condition.
What year is it?
2008.
So, retail price for new
one? Condition than the ones we bought. What was wrong with the one?
Well, the one we purchased, it's minor stuff, hydraulics, things like that. You know, this vehicle that we looked at didn't have any of that stuff. But the first one, the one that we currently have, what did we purchase that one for?
16.
But I mean, you know. 2,000-3,000 hours in repairs, and
we'll
have another truck.
And they're asking more for this truck. They had gotten trade-in values anywhere between $15,000 and $28,000. We did a little negotiating, and we were able to get them down to $25,000. And Scott had indicated that he'd be willing to hold the truck for us to the end of the year, so we could purchase it in 2021. I hadn't anticipated, starting this process now, do it later in the year, but the truck is available, and I would hate to lose the opportunity to purchase it. We could. I mean,
you have to pay $80,000 to retrofit it too. Right?
All together, it would probably be around $90,000. We had just recently purchased ODB in January. Was it? Yeah, January. It was $53,000 or $54,000.
Yes.
The truck that we bought from them at that time from DePere was $16,500. Okay. So we're right around $70,000, and then you have another $10,000.
Another $10,000 for putting it on the vehicle, and the minor repairs that we would have to that vehicle.
And that will be ready this fall. Unfortunately, we're not going to have it ready by spring because the unit hasn't arrived yet. But on this truck, the one we're considering, they're asking more. So $25,000 plus you add another $5,500 or $6,000 for the ODB unit. You're at $85,000, and then another $5,000 to $10,000, and hopefully only $5,000 because it's in better condition than the other truck. In our 5-year equipment replacement plan, we had estimated $80,000. Our desire is to move from the current process, which is baling. It's messy. It's all-consuming equipment and staff in the fall. We have looked at the numbers, the three of us, and there's a cost savings.
Do you know what that is?
Back of the napkin, I have it here. It's about $30,000. Now, we can refine that, I think it's a pretty good representation of the savings. Um, So we want to get away from that process, and we want to get, this year we'll have two trucks, two leaf vacuum trucks. We'll still use the baler, but it will be on a limited basis. Hopefully in 2021, fall of 2021, we have that third truck. We're no longer using the baler, and we have three out there for 4 to 5 weeks, and they're out there 10 hours a day, and we stay on top of the leaf piles. We're pulling the leaves, we're sucking the leaves from the boulevard. We're not pulling that organic material into the street where it can get into the storm sewer and cause the water quality issues that we see. I'm hoping that we would get, when we go to look at our stormwater requirements, hopefully we get credited for that. We should. Definitely will be noted on our MS4 permit. So, we have, our plan is, in 2023, we're going to begin to retire our garbage trucks, our actual garbage trucks that are going on the road. In the future, our retired garbage trucks then would replace, when need be, our the leaf vacuum trucks.
So the chassis.
The chassis.
The upfront cost of the leaf sucking unit, the ODV unit, that's the upfront cost. So as we retire in the future, as we retire garbage trucks, we can place these units onto those retired garbage trucks. So it really, it's the upfront cost, and that ODB unit we estimate is going to have at least a 20-year lifespan. Mm-hmm.
And the truck itself, life expectancy of a used truck, I mean, it's hard to guess. But
we're hoping to get, you know, hopefully 7, 8, 10 years. Again, they are retired garbage trucks that have been on the road daily. So the nice thing about when we start retiring our garbage trucks is it's a vehicle we maintain and we know. So,
and a new chassis would be
a lot, $90,000 for a brand new chassis.
Yep. It's good for maybe 20 years or more. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you should get 20 years out of a properly maintained chassis. Rust is the salt, corrosion is the color.
When were you planning to, what, in your five-year plan, what was the estimated time to purchase the second truck?
The third truck? We've already purchased the second truck that was done earlier this year. The third truck was next year. And we're still planning to do the same thing. We're trying to, with your approval, I'll let the peer know not to trade it in, hold it. We'll purchase it in January of 2021.
So you're looking for a motion to recommend to the board?
Right.
I'll make that motion to recommend support.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Sorry.
Aye, you're good.
I thought you were done.
We have a St. Mary sanitary sewer.
We've already talked about that. And we're going to continue to work on that project, and we're going to bring that back.
Cool.
All right.
Capital improvement plan.
I think you all have hard copies of the draft capital improvement plan. I want to let everybody know that this we have just started this process. The intent for this tonight is just to get it in front of you, to let you know that we've started, to get you to start to think about some questions or some comments. What we're going to present tonight will be at a high level. We're not going to spend a lot of time because we're going to bring this item back in April, and we're going to spend a lot of time on it at that point. But we wanted to get something in front of you. And here are the list of projects. And what you see on paper tonight may not be what we bring back to you in April. We're just starting to, you know, put this project together, and it's and it's based on a couple of things. One, every other year we go out and we rate. Every year we go out and rate the roadways. Every other year we submit those rating, those surface ratings to the DOT. And then two, we look at the condition of the underground utilities when we decide what street's going to be resurfaced, rehabilitated, or what street's going to be reconstructed. So Jeff has been working on this for the last few days, and I'll let him kind of go through it quickly. Jeff?
Well, like Sean said, this is at the surface. This is the kickoff. What most of these are based on is a PASER rating. Like Sean said, every other year we report their PASER to the state. Every year we go out and evaluate roads, rate them on a 1 to 10 scale. Again, at the surface, what I did is I started at the lower numbers, laid them out in an order based on the lowest to highest numbers. I also cross-referenced the CIP from the past to see which streets we got to and which streets we didn't get to. What came to light is we do jump around the list. You know, in 2017, we may do a 2019 street, and in 2018, we may do a 21 street. So these do move around. They do jump around. We will be evaluating utilities as a staff and more than likely rearranging the list you see in front of you based on that information. Input from the water department, evaluation of the sanitary sewer will affect where these streets may relocate.
And when we bring back the finalized CIP in April for discussion, even after it's finalized, we all know that it's just a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And
fluid.
Fluid. It's fluid, very fluid. There are things that come up that may cause a project to get moved back or moved ahead. And Black Hawk is an example of that, that water main break. That water main break, we had to move part of that project ahead. Oh. So please begin to
common sense factor. I mean, that's huge. I mean, and your example is perfect that yeah, we weren't going to do it, but all of a sudden it's in our lap. Now we kind of have to. It generally makes sense to do it. So.
Thank you.
Spell check.
What?
Tell
me how.
Make note of that.
I've been made aware.
All right.
The purple one would be reconstructs. Orange ones would be resurfacing projects. Reconstructs are laid out every 2 years. The resurfacing is an annual repair that we do.
Cool. A lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to... These streets are going to move around. What you see tonight is going to change. And as Jeff mentioned, as we sit down as a group, as a department, and look at these, and there's still a lot of work to get done. We're still coming up with cost estimates. We're still looking at utilities. We wanted to get something on paper. So if you're looking at this and you had a street in mind that maybe should get reconstructed sooner, start to provide us comments. It doesn't have to be email it, call us, make an appointment, let's sit down and we want to hear from you.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that.
I know what he's saying.
My tongue is bleeding right now. I'm biting it really hard. So I'll just, all right.
This is going to get, there are going to be multiple iterations of this. And even when we're done, we're not done. Because yeah. It's just the guide.
What are you complaining about? Good in the future. Well, that's not even my street. No. It ends in an IS, so I don't know where St. Francis is, but, you know.
Well, we don't know.
Does that help when I give you a hard time? Probably not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take this off.
Put an asterisk by that one, too.
Yeah. That might get bumped 20, off.
30, yeah.
Goodness, honey, we have a gravel road now.
Just a couple of things. When we're looking at... the total reconstruct streets, You have to keep in mind
another one.
What's all going into that street. If, you know, if it's water and sewer, we have to make sure that we have the capabilities to bond in those utilities. We are retiring some pretty good debt in, I believe it's 2024. But the goal was to hit roughly that $3 million a year. And, of course, we saw what happened to last year. And then you got a couple projects coming up that are much larger. And we start talking about Webster Avenue,
Lyle Street.
Those are very expensive projects.
That's a good point. When we're laying this out for the reconstruct projects, we're aiming for that $2.5-3 million mark total. Street resurfacing projects, we're just assuming that we're gonna continue to get the 500. And in April, I'm going to push to get 600 because our main focus, it shouldn't be that way, on our resurfacing project is are those streets that are rated between a 4 and a 5. Really, our focus for resurfacing projects should be the maintenance of those streets that were just recently reconstructed, say, within the last 10 years. We need to get out there and resurface those streets so we can continue to prolong that life. There are multiple maintenance activities that are required to get a road in 50 years. And real quick, you know, the first thing you want to do once you reconstruct a road, within a couple of years, you want to go in and crack fill, seal up those cracks. Within 10 years, you want to be out there resurfacing. And 10 years after that, you want to resurface again. And then 10 years after that is a rehabilitation project where you come in and pull that pavement off full depth. You prep that base, you make some repair to curb and gutter, and then you put back 4 inches of asphalt. And you hope you can get another 15, 20 years after that before you have to reconstruct that street. And we're doing our best.
I was just going to make a footnote that what you see on the orange, on the resurfacing, and on the legal pad are our threes. Those are the threes. I didn't get a chance to put the fours on or the fives, like you said, the other. So our need is there for probably 6.25.
Okay.
So we have to find a way to raise another $125,000.
To start to overlay, mill and overlay, right?
But that's...
And
that's
we do.
That's a challenge.
Yeah, that's a challenge. We do. We have... Jeff has done a good job of for each year for the resurfacing project. He's added one overlay to the list. So every year we have at least one overlay included, and then the rest of the rehabilitation projects. We're behind already, and we can't afford to fall any further behind. So.
Because we're going to be talking about a utility increase, right? Our costs are going up. So we have to find a way to not cut, but find a way to raise some more money, find some more grants.
We were, and speaking of that, we were just notified by the DOT that we have received the Libel Street state surface block grant. And they're working on a state municipal agreement right now, so the exact dollar amount, I think it's just less than $4 million per Libel. And that's a long project. That would be from 172 North all the way to the village limits.
Cool.
Unfortunately, we did not get, I don't know, Brad, if you'd... that to President Raptor, we did not get the multimodal MLS multimodal supplement for Green Avenue. We submitted a great application, and we didn't get the funding. But
was that to the local?
That was through the DOT, but
as part of that stimulating funds or stimulation funds, $75 million or whatever it was that was allocated. Not
in the street. Statewide.
Yeah.
Okay. Where Suamico got something for the bill.
Lineville,
yeah.
You know, it you know, you're talking about trying to come up with that additional $125,000 when you were initially talking a little bit about the using the leaf vacuums versus the baler.
Yep.
You know, you're talking 30-ish. Could be more, could be a little bit less, but those are the processes that we're going through, is that continuous improvement to try to find those funds.
Yeah. Yep. And 30 grand is in labor, though.
And equipment usage, equipment charges, so.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, you're freeing up some of the labor that can go and continue to do an additional street patching.
Yeah,
so you are able to do a lot more.
Brand new last year, we started to do some of our own street patching, and we're going to build on that.
How about if we try to train some of the prisoners in GBCI? While they're here, why don't we just give them some work to do?
Well, that's maximum security.
You want them outside the wall. No one's worried about security.
All right, emergency management preparation for flooding.
I'll let Brad.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to show that picture. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a trailer that Village purchased, and Bob and Daryl, and I don't know who else was all involved with.
Jim
coming up with a design that can put our emergency response on a trailer. So it's ready to go.
Nice.
Very nice.
We do have sandbags available for residents to purchase. Jim's been picking up a lot of them. We want to make sure that we have a good chunk on hand for Village purposes themselves, and then residents can purchase up to 25. If there's a larger request, up to 200, they have to give us enough notice so that we can get that arranged. Continuing conversations with emergency management. Debbie goes to it's called the POIs, point of information, so that she can provide the residents with the appropriate message. Jim and I, and I think a couple others, have attended some of the meetings strictly involving how the action plans will take place. So it's been a good process. I think Lori Mackey is doing a great job with this, pulling it all together and making sure that all the communities are on the same page and we're ready to help each other if necessary. So just wanted to kind of give you a little touch on what we're doing.
Nice.
Quickly give an update on the Green Isle Park sewer valve. That was approved at a village board meeting. Mm-hmm. So we did go out and get three quotes. DeGroat was the low bidder at $7,500. Right now they're in the process of getting the parts that we need, and they're hopeful that they can get started end of next week with the installation.
Remind me, this is in the control room?
Just downstream of manhole so that we can close the park's lateral. There's a lot of I&I that gets into the system, into their system, and then that flows into the village's sanitary sewer. So we'd like to, when the water comes up, when the park's not being used, close that valve.
It's not about what your estimate was, isn't it?
Yeah, it was slightly under.
That's good.
Oh, no, right at, I think. I think it said somewhere between $7,500 and $10,000. Yeah.
I should also point out that, you know, we are still evaluating the lift stations, about raising those. Mm-hmm. And Senator Cole's office has been very helpful, put me in contact with some potential grant opportunities and or / loan opportunities. So once we have a plan on if they're able to be raised and a plan moving forward, we can reach back out to the contacts through Senator Cole's office. So they've been very helpful.
Excellent. You had mentioned residents can purchase sandbags.
Yes.
How do we let them know that they can do that?
On the Brown County website for floodingbc.org is the information that, you know, and we've been sending that out. The newspaper, the TV stations have all been indicating that if you're looking for sandbags, contact your local municipality. Not all of us are doing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm thinking if Debbie could send a thing out to... No?
One of the things to keep in mind, the sandbag is not a foolproof. And if they're not installed properly, if they're not disposed of properly afterwards, so... You know, there's the other concerns that come with it. You know, we don't want the sandbags to be thrown in garbage cans. That's added weight that the
don't question for. Are sandbags reusable? I mean,
yeah.
They dry out. I mean, I don't.
I would think so.
To a point, I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, it's out there, but it's you know.
As Brad has mentioned, we have developed guidelines and a spreadsheet to keep track. And for us, a staff, and we're afraid if we did send that out, I don't know that we'd be able to fulfill all of the orders.
Right.
Well, honestly, we don't have the space to keep them. We're starting to stockpile them behind the salt shed, and we're putting a tarp over them, but... You would just recently order 500, right, for this?
To be picked up.
But can't our residents purchase them from Brown County?
No.
They have to come through us, and we can get 250 on a truck.
Yeah.
So it takes some time.
Yeah. So we're selling them filled. We're not selling them the empty bags that they have to then come and fill themselves.
Yep. They have to pick them up here and dispose of
them. Any cost? To the homeowner?
A dollar a bag,
okay.
Which is less than what you would pay.
I'm guessing we know the properties that are probably at most at risk if the East River floods, right?
Yeah.
How many properties would there be?
Ooh, a lot.
I mean, they'd be the ones right along the river, right? Even across.
And surprisingly enough, I know there were some property. The water came up. Obviously, the water came higher than we've ever seen it for some time. But when I look back at the sanitary sewage overflows from that event, I was shocked that only fine. I think it was only three or four basements backed up because of that. Now there were basements, as mentioned earlier, that had water in it. It was because of overland flow, but I think that was only half a dozen properties. But the thing is that, you know, what was the estimate? To build a 1 foot wall, 300 feet or 100 feet long, you need.
A 1 foot wall, 20 feet long, is 100 sandbags.
I think so.
20, yes, 1 foot tall, 20 feet long, is 100 sandbags.
And Jim, we had
20 feet long.
20 feet long.
We had
by a foot.
We had a property come over, or. Had called you and asked for how many?
400. She wanted 80 feet. She knew the calculation. She knew exactly what she wanted.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to do our best to provide, but Green Bay ordered 10,000 of them, and that took up, nobody else could get sandbags until that order was filled. So
if a property owner were to follow the information that has been provided through news media and web pages, I think it's on our web page. If they go to Brown County's website, it says on that website, as Brad has already mentioned, talk to your local municipality.
Yes.
They call us, we'll give them the information.
And we've had calls.
Okay.
Winter sidewalk maintenance.
So at the village board meeting, I think it was Tuesday, Tuesday, there were two property owners that had made a comment, an appearance before the meeting, that were upset about the maintenance of the Riverside Drive sidewalk, and that they had to clear it in the past. We did a little research. In 2009, when the sidewalk was constructed, there was a letter that I provided in the letter, it did indicate that the maintenance of a sidewalk was their responsibility per village policy. Our policy right now is that anytime we get 3 inches or more of snow, the village will go out and clear. After we come through one time, then it's the property owner's responsibility to keep clear of snow and ice. That's village-wide. 3 inches or more village-wide, we go out, make a pass through the village, whole sidewalk. Less than 3 inches, village will go out and clear village-owned property, roundabouts, and school sidewalk.
Safe routes to school sidewalks. Not school sidewalks.
Safe route to school sidewalk, right? We have not just completed, but before the end of last year, we finished a CI improvement process. It was focused on the clearing of sidewalk. There is a recommendation that the committee had made. My intent is to bring that through Public Works this year, probably late spring, once we get our projects out the door and they're started. We'll bring that to committee and then village board. We'll dig into the policy, the challenges that we're faced. I'm not going to disagree with property owners on Riverside, Webster, and Alloway Avenue. The maintenance of that sidewalk is a challenge. It's a challenge on Riverside and Webster Avenue because it abuts the back of curb. The other challenge is that the county plows two lanes of roadway onto that sidewalk. It's not just one lane, it's two lanes. And they do it multiple times. We wait as long as we can to go and clear it. But as soon as we clear it, they come through and clear it again. And then if the homeowner doesn't go out there right away, it freezes solid. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. And the maintenance of Alloway Avenue is no different other than it's just one lane plowed onto the sidewalk. So those are the things we need to talk about. And it may be that we're going to change our policy.
What we did find is there's the practice, the policy, and the village ordinance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to consolidate it into what is the ordinance.
Yeah, if you look at that whole section by the bank over here, Wells Fargo or whatever, yeah, that... It's rough, you know, trying to walk through there. And it takes a while. I mean, it takes a while for it to get clear because, like you say, they come through. And I've seen, like, one of the diocesan employees was out there with a snowblower. I mean, I think everybody's kind of trying, but it's tough to stay ahead of the situation there.
And one thing I didn't mention is just the condition of the sidewalk makes it hard to maintain. Mm-hmm. Uneven joints, it's an older walk. Got an old failing wall behind it that's tipping into the sidewalk, and we're trying to get the county to step up.
No terrace to put snow in.
Yep.
How about if we go with heated sidewalks?
Gated?
Heated.
Boy, that's so
heated sidewalks.
Is that a motion?
Sure.
So
where's your money tree?
What had happened on Riverside Drive, and I don't know. I can't recall how much detail they'd gotten into. I know they were upset.
But they handled themselves extremely well.
They've
been very nice.
We went out there, and they had gotten a notice. They had gotten this letter. Mm-hmm. Public Works that had indicated that we went out and cleared it. That was your one freebie. Next time we come out, you're going to be charged. Well, we went out and did that. We went out and cleared that walk and the curb ramps at the Hawk. Guess what? As soon as we got done, the plow came through. And they got upset. We got a call, and Dave, it was Dave or Tom, called and said, "You didn't clear it. You gave me the freebie, but it wasn't cleared." I'm like, "We were there. We cleared it."
Sure, you
right?
Were. Yeah,
I'm sure you were.
And that's exactly what can happen to the homeowners, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that crossing, it seems like they go out of their way to put more in it. I don't know if it's just how it's constructed and how it comes down to the road. It collects more, but I don't know.
Jim, what did you say? It's rated a certain roadway, and they got to clear it so often.
It's a three. It's rated as a three. The county Webster and Riverside are a 3. And a level 3 is wet within so many hours and nothing in the curb pan. There cannot be anything in the curb pan. They will take it right to the back of the curb. Until that's that way, they will run that. They will. The midnight guys will run that road. So I can get a hold of Mike Piacenti, the assistant superintendent. Ask him if he's done with Webster, Riverside, Alland. And he can tell me, yep. And there are times, you know, it does happen. His midnight guys will see that, and he'll run that, and he'll just spray the daylights out of that sidewalk. And then, like Sean said, you know, a salt mixture in there that hits the back of the fence and slides down back of the retaining wall, slides down, you have an uneven, and that whole thing turns to ice by the time we can get to it. Mm-hmm. But we are working, he and I have a very, very good working relationship. It's very good. And he's doing his best, and we're doing our best. And we have to blow that. We have to use our blower on there. We can't push it into the road because they're going to shove it right back in. And all we're going to do is here.
So there's my question is here, when there's a fence, it's like, where do you blow it to?
We try to blow it at a little bit of a forward angle. And then we're accumulating more and more and more and more and more until the point that we can't. Then we go in with a bucket and we take it out with a bucket and haul it with trucks. The walls that Sean referred to have to be done with a bucket. So all those walls that you see that are really crappy, we do that with a payloader bucket and dump trucks because we can't afford to be putting a rock through.
Is that on Webster there, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Next to the prison is one we have to do.
There are times too where we'll
put it over the wall.
We blow it. We do blow it on the budding property.
Yes,
we will blow it
on the property.
Where we can, we do that.
Yeah.
Okay, doke.
And if somebody gets back to these guys and assure them that things are
Tom and Dave.
No, they're good ally citizens.
So they know we're looking into.
Yes. Yeah. I had actually told them that in the time that we bring it to this committee, I'd like them here to share their story again.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I think they'd be willing.
Yeah.
I think they'll be here.
All right.
Tom was very comfortable in front of us.
Yeah. 42 years I've lived there or something.
Marine Street sanitary sewer overflow. Mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Yes, just recently, last week Tuesday, we had confirmed a sanitary sewage overflow at Marine Street and the Fox River Trail. We have a sanitary manhole that is within feet of the New Water meter station. Mm-hmm. When their technician was out there taking samples at that meter station, he had discovered something that looked like an overflow. He called us. We went out there on Tuesday afternoon and confirmed that it was an overflow. Within an hour, we were making phone calls to get a contractor there to televise the sanitary sewer from Riverside Drive to that manhole to determine what was causing the overflow. We had hired Green Bay Pipe and TV. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the name of the company. They were there. We televised the sewer under flow. We came back. And Jeff reviewed the televised report. In the morning, we had a plan. We knew where the water was leaving the system. In the fall of 2018, we were there repairing that pipe segment. In that particular case, what they call a slip line. We went from the downstream manhole, we slip lined a new pipe into the existing pipe up to the Riverside Drive manhole or Monroe Avenue manhole. Unfortunately, what we believe had happened from the televised report, where the pipe connected to the manhole at Riverside Drive, the grout that was used to seal the pipe to the manhole had either one, combination of things, eroded because of flow, and two, pipe may have shifted at the structure and caused an opening. So when the wastewater was coming through that structure and exiting into the pipe, some of the flow was lost. it was traveling between the new and the old pipe down the hill. And when it got down to the hill, just beyond the trail, it couldn't get into the manhole downstream. It was coming through the surface. It was coming through an area where we already have high groundwater table. We have a natural spring down there. So what was coming through the surface was groundwater and wastewater. So we called Green Bay Pipe and TV back after we had a plan. We called them back the next morning. They were there. These guys, a gym called Brown County, they were out within an hour. We had closed the inside lanes of Riverside Drive. Once the temporary traffic control was in place, Jeff was out there with the contractor, and they started to bypass the flow so we could cut the turn the water off and get a better look at that pipe. We wanted to make sure there were some things that Jeff had seen when he looked at the televised report that were somewhat questionable, but we wanted to look at it without flow. They re-televised without flow, and you were able to determine that what we had seen, there were no other issues. The pipe was in good condition other than the connection at the manhole. And by noon, we were patching that hole and resealing it with hydro cement. Before the hole was patched, we did put dye in it just to confirm that it was what we suspected. It was wastewater that was traveling between the pipe. After, when we were done with the repair, we put dye in again and it didn't come back up. When that was done, the guys cleaned up the site, removed the temporary traffic control, took out the bypass, and then you guys spent a couple hours cleaning up
the ditch.
We're going to meet. We're concerned that the connection on the other side of the pipe is may not hold up. So we're going to. Jeff has made arrangements. We're going to meet with the city of Green Bay, an engineer from the city of Green Bay. His specialty is just utilities. You've made calls to a number of contractors. We're going to have him here tomorrow. We're going to talk about a more permanent repair. We can't allow this to happen again. We had SSO there in 2015 before we lined it because of the condition of the pipe, old clay pipe, sanitary sewage overflow. Every time we have one, we have to make a report to the DNR. And that has been already. They're going to be notified within 24 hours. And then with 5 days, you got to submit a formal report to them, which has been completed. So now we've had two in that area. We can't afford to have a third one. So we're going to talk about tomorrow options available for a more permanent fix to this issue. So that, Jeff, is it, would you like to add anything else?
Just said that when we ran the second dye test, nothing. Yeah, they did a good job of keeping the sewer in the pipe.
I've been checking it pretty much every other day.
If you go out there, you'll see that we have some barricades and some tape around where the water was coming through. When we were confident that we had taken care of the problem, they'd taken the hydrovac truck and they sucked out the ditch, and then Jim and Jeff had spread barn lime,
right,
and that is to neutralize the wastewater, the bacteria in the wastewater. So if you go down there, you're going to see what is a white grayish substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. That's what that's. And this is part of the notification process of when you have an SSO with the DNR, you got to submit the report and then discuss it with committee and village board. So,
if you look.
Great. Motion to adjourn. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Stand adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Boy, you guys are busy. You're always busy, but it's been crazy lately.
A lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
A lot. That's right. They look beat.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not
the problem. Oh, the other thing, Brad. I'd like to mention that I'm going to be on vacation.
What?